Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at ianmasters.com. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the standoff at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which now has two acting directors. One, Leandra English, is the deputy to the outgoing director of the CFPB, Richard Cordray, and the other is an avowed enemy of the CFPB, Mick Mulvaney, who Trump has appointed as acting director. Dennis Kelleher, the president and chief executive officer of Better Markets, Inc., a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit organization that promotes the public interest in the U.S. and global financial markets, joins us. We will discuss a bureau that has been under constant political assault from Republicans since it was created under the 2010 Dodd-Frank Act, and how President Trump, who ran against Wall Street but has since proven to be the financial industry's most faithful servant, will reward Wall Street by crippling the most effective watchdog against financial abuse and predatory behavior that has resulted in 30 million American consumers collecting $12 billion in refunds. Then we'll examine the Pope's visit to Myanmar, Burma, and the delicate diplomacy underway with Burma's small Catholic community urging the Pope not to even utter the word Rohingya, despite global condemnation of the ethnic cleansing that has driven Burma's Muslim minority into neighboring Bangladesh, where their future in crowded refugee camps is uncertain. David Steinberg, a distinguished professor of Asian Studies Emeritus at Georgetown University and a former member of the Senior Foreign Service and author of Burma, the State of Myanmar, joins us to discuss how the Pope is trying to exercise his moral authority while not exposing Burmese Catholics to a backlash of persecution. Then finally, we'll speak with Christopher Masakano, a PhD candidate studying higher education policy in the Department of Leadership, Policy and Organizations at Vanderbilt University. He joins us to discuss his article at the Los Angeles Times. If the GOP gets its way on taxes, the party could doom postgraduate education in the U.S. and how the country's best and brightest who live on $25,000 per year will see a 400% increase in their taxes under the House GOP bill to offset tax cuts for the biggest corporations and the richest Americans. And joining us now is Dennis Kelleher, who is the president and chief executive officer of Better Markets, Inc., a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit organization that promotes the public interest in the U.S. and global financial markets. Better Markets is a Wall Street watchdog and has been referred to as a persistent thorn in the side of Wall Street. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dennis Kelleher.
Thanks, Ian. Nice to be here.
Well, thanks for joining us, Dennis. And what do you make of this standoff at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, where Mick Mulvaney has been named by President Trump as the acting director of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau? He shows up there today with a bunch of donuts, but the person who the outgoing director appointed, Leandra English, is not leaving her job. So you've got two people claiming the same job. Pretty strange, isn't it?
Well, it is, but, you know, the strange has become normal under President Trump, who, as you and others have pointed out, Jeb Bush referred to as the chaos president, and he certainly is good at doing that. This, frankly, shouldn't surprise anybody. President Trump has been a stalwart ally of Wall Street in the financial industry since he got to the White House. Frankly, I don't think it's much of an overstatement to say that he's virtually merged the White House with Wall Street. And the financial industry in this country has hated the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau since the idea was first brought up in 2009 and discussed during the debate over what became the Dodd-Frank financial reform law. And let's remember what the debate is really about. Forget the personalities. The debate is about an incredibly effective consumer financial protection agency that in just a few short years has returned $12 billion to 27 million ripped-off Americans. And the financial industry is furious because those $12 billion were supposed to stay in their pockets. And instead, the Consumer Financial Protection Agency required the financial industry to take the $12 billion out of their pockets and put it back into the pockets of ripped-off Americans, 27 million of them. And that's why the financial industry has always targeted a real effective consumer protection agency. And that's what this fight is about. And the personalities should not obscure what's really at stake here. And that's the financial security and the money of hardworking Americans being ripped off by financial predators.
But what triggered this is clearly the resignation of Richard Cordray. And you know the Republicans have gone after him forever, and they tried to make a commission out of it so that it be neutered, and then they tried to stop him, his appointment. Why did he leave? There's no clarity about that. And did he leave in such a way to give Trump this opening?
Well, nobody knows really, except for Rich Cordray, why he left. But his term expired in, I believe, about 6 months. So he was out the door one way or the other in 6 months. So whether or not this happened today or in 6 months, I don't think is all that important. Whether or not the president succeeds in installing an acting director, or whether or not Rich Cordray's deputy takes over, it's still only a matter of time, and the courts will probably sort it out. And that's of some interest inside the Beltway, but I'm not so sure it's all that important to people outside the Beltway. What's interesting here is that the president is probably going to try and keep an acting director there for as long as possible, because what the Republicans and President Trump don't want is a public debate about killing one of the most effective consumer protection agencies in the history of the country. All the polls show that the American people, Democrats, Republicans, independents, and non-voters, overwhelmingly support consumer protection and consumer protection agencies. And of course they should. We know. So if you look at what the CFPB has done in a few short years under this director, the Bank of America was required to refund $727 million to consumers for deceptive marketing. Citigroup was required to return $700 million to consumers for illegal credit card practices. J.P. Morgan Chase, $300+ million, they had to refund the consumers for unfair billing, and the list goes on and on and on. And that's what's really at stake here. And unfortunately, President Trump, his Republican allies in Congress doing the bidding of the financial industry, is worried about financial institutions and not worried about consumers.
Right, but it seems to me that the bad guys are winning. Look what's looming out there, Dennis, at the moment. You've got the possibility that this pedophile can be elected to the United States Senate. You've got the possibility, a real possibility, that net neutrality will be repealed by Trump's guy, Ajit Pai, on the FCC. And you've got this absolutely obscene tax reform package that is so weighted to the rich and powerful corporations at the expense of middle class and poor Americans. It's clearly the donor's dream wish list come true, and that could pass too. So I don't know. I'm depressed about what's happening, frankly. I really see a really dark clouds here on the horizon.
Well, you know, there's plenty of reasons to feel depressed about the dark clouds on the horizon and, frankly, the dark clouds that have arrived. On the other hand, it's important, I think, to remember that Trump ran as the most anti-Wall Street presidential candidate since FDR in the 1930s. He painted Hillary Clinton as the stooge of Wall Street. He claimed that Hillary Clinton was going to let Wall Street run amok if she became president. And that's how he got elected. Millions of people in this country voted for the anti-Wall Street candidate, voted for the candidate they thought would be tough on finance. So what's interesting is he's come to office, and I often say that I don't think President Trump has ever met candidate Trump, because what he did is he's installed Goldman Sachs and mostly Wall Street people into senior positions and has run an agenda that's been pro-Wall Street from beginning to end. So there is hope here, because the American people still by majorities of both Republicans and Democrats believe that finance should be regulated and regulated to prevent another financial crash, and they also believe strongly in supermajorities on consumer protection. So what this president and this administration cannot withstand is an open, honest debate and discussion about what they're really doing, which is helping Wall Street at the expense of Main Street. And that's why it's so important not to get caught up in the personalities and kind of the lawsuits and this thing and that thing. It's to be focus on what the substance here is. And the substance here is that we have one of the most effective consumer protection agencies ever that's now under assault by a president who claimed to stand up for the little guy when all he really does is stand up for the biggest, most powerful financial institutions in the country. And if people focus on that and people talk about that, then the many people who voted for the candidate that they thought was not going to do that, hopefully will get the message, see the truth, and act appropriately in the next election.
But in terms of this having two directors of the or acting directors of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, Mick Mulvaney, who Trump has appointed, and Ms. English, who the outgoing head deputized. So the 2010 Dodd-Frank Act has some kind of language, has it not, about that covers this, since it's an act, a law. Isn't there a procedure here about filling a vacancy? I believe it's not totally clear, but it does talk about an acting director steps in to fill any vacancy.
Well, it's a little, unfortunately, it's a little bit more ambiguous than that. The statute says that the deputy director at the CFPB will become the acting director in the absence or unavailability of the director. The problem or the argument is that the director is not absent or unavailable. He's gone. So, in fact, you have a vacancy. The statute does not say in all instances of a vacancy for any purpose at any time, then the deputy director shall become the acting director. It says only, not only, but it says in the absence or unavailability of the deputy director shall come in. And what the president is going to argue is that this is not the absence or unavailability, which is a subset of vacancies. This is, in fact, a vacancy. And he's going to take the position that because it's a vacancy, he's entitled under a different statute, which is the Federal Vacancies Act, that he's entitled to appoint a certain type of a person to that to be acting, and that Mick Mulvaney, who's the director of the Office of Management and Budget, is that type of person. And let's, of course, not forget what type of person Mick Mulvaney is. He actually called the CFPB, quote, sad, sick joke, close quote, and voted when he was in Congress to abolish the agency. And he's actually already today announced a 30-day halt on all civil penalties, all rulemaking activities, and all hiring, because they want to, quote unquote, fix the agency, which, of course, by fix the agency, they mean to make it serve the financial industry rather than protect consumers.
Well, it's who's going to win if there's this legal ambiguity?
Well, it's not clear who's going to win. The lawsuit was filed last night, although I think you should assume that the president will probably win this argument. And if he doesn't win it in the short term, as I said, Ian, he's going to win it in the long term anyway. But what he doesn't want to do is he doesn't want to have an open, honest public debate about protecting consumers or protecting Wall Street. And that's what they want to avoid by installing an acting director that doesn't have to go through the Senate confirmation process where there are hearings and people can talk about the record of whoever the president nominates versus the record of what the agency has to do. And one other thing I want to mention, Ian, is the Consumer Financial Protection Agency isn't important just to protect consumers here and there. It's also incredibly important to prevent another financial crash. You have to remember that financial predators ripped off unsuspecting and unprotected mortgage consumers in the years before the 08 crash. That's what gave the fuel and the kindling to the subprime mortgage bubble. It was basically all these mortgage lenders and mortgage mills backed up with Wall Street money that gave put out all sorts of tricks and traps in the mortgages that people didn't know about, and then fraudulently handed out mortgages all over the place. And then when they didn't do that, they fraudulently created mortgages that they shipped off and sold to Wall Street that packaged them into fraudulent derivatives that ended up being a subprime bubble. That all started with predatory conduct at the consumer level, at the street level. So the importance of the financial, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau isn't just to protect consumers and investors, which is incredibly important of itself, but it's also to prevent predatory conduct from going unpunished and undetected, which frequently lead to financial instability, financial fragility, and ultimately financial crashes, which we all pay for.
Well, there's a lot at stake, and you know, one hopes that, as I say, the bad guys are winning lately, Dennis, and I hope some good guys win. I really do. This is unbelievable, the rampant greed that's going on at the very top. The most powerful people in this country just siphon all this money from the middle class and the poor in this budget. I find it extraordinary. And combined with what you've told us about how Trump has ran as the guy that was going to bring Wall Street to heel and is now their most faithful servant, I mean, it's all so cynical.
Well, you're right about that, but the hope is that the American people will pay attention sufficiently enough when they're not working and trying to take care of the kids and trying to take care of their parents and kind of just live their life. They will see what this administration is doing, if the administration has not been on their side, that it's consistently siding with finance over their best interest. And this is an incredibly clear example of where consumers and investors who are going to be protected against financial predators actually is going to unleash financial predators. And hopefully that will be enough to get their attention and that they will pay attention, because it means an awful lot to their own pocketbooks.
Well, Dennis Kelleher, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thanks, Ian.
And again, I've been speaking with Dennis Kelleher, who is the President and Chief Executive Officer of Better Markets, Inc., a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit organization that promotes the public interest in the U.S. and global financial markets. Better Markets is a Wall Street watchdog and has been referred to as a persistent thorn in the side of Wall Street. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back examining the Pope's visit to Myanmar, Burma, and the delicate diplomacy underway.